And welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you from the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is the founder of Fusion Global, a ministry that seeks to connect the old and the new, Rabbi Jason Sobel. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo de la Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from their home in the Ozarks, here's your hosts, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue Baker,
yes, and welcome
to our home and
our studio. Here.
One of these days, we're going to be back at the studio,
but we're
still at our house,
and we're
happy to be here.
Yes,
happy to be anywhere, and glad to have our special guest today, Rabbi Jason Sobel.
Yes.
And he is amazing. He's amazing. One of the great speakers of our time.
True.
And we are so excited. There's so much news. We don't have time for the news today, probably. But there's a couple new volcanoes
going on. Are erupting. You know, we've been talking about this. And the last few days, this has developed. According to Yahoo.com, ash from Sangay volcano eruption darkens sky over Rio Bomba in Ecuador. Another one, world's biggest volcano is waking up, and it's time to prep for an eruption. This is according to Forbes magazine, Forbes.com. They are watching these volcanoes very closely. And as you know, the last few days we have been talking about volcanoes. There's an earthquake that just took place around that area as well. This is why they're watching it. Listen, earthquakes and volcanoes go hand in hand. And if you watch those two move, they're going to move in a line together. So when an earthquake occurs, volcanoes begin to start moving. And they're watching these two volcanoes, one in South America and then the other one, of course, in Hawaii.
The volcano experts are saying that right this year is a year of volcanoes.
Absolutely. We're watching one of the biggest subduction plates moving right now in the west coast of the United States. Alarming because 11 out of the 18 volcanoes, one being Mount Rainier, they're watching it. But some experts are predicting if that goes, the west coast is in for trouble. Again, earthquakes and volcanoes in the west coast, some of the greatest science people are really, really, really warning us about this. And ever since you started teaching about this, Dad, almost hours after we finished taping, we began to see over 22,000 earthquakes in Iceland within 10 days.
People better watch what's happening. And I'm teaching the revelation, and I stopped the show for 4 days and taught the next phase, right after the four horses of the apocalypse, which I believe are already riding, the next chapter tells us what is coming.
That's right.
And it's volcanoes and earthquakes, and it's huge. I'm reading so much from the scientists and all. They tell us that the West Coast is really going to shake, and I believe these things are going to happen. So it's time to see. Can we give them that video of mine that I taped last week?
Absolutely. We still have This Is the Revelation Generation DVDs that we have been taping and teaching the book of Revelation and where we are today.
It's 4 hours, right?
That's right. Yes. And this is for a donation of $25 to the ministry, and that includes the shipping and handling as well.
And that video is where we are now.
Yes, right.
And if you want to see where we are, not in the light of some preacher, not in the light of me, in the light of the scripture.
Right.
This is what is so powerful. This is the last words. This is the revelation. And this is just one section of it. But this is where we are now. What do we enter next after COVID? Mm-hmm. COVID is still active. But what's next? Yeah. I'm telling you and teaching you what the Bible says is next. And I want you to be sure to be watching our new network, the Prophets Network, the Voice of the Prophets, Lori.
That's
it's going crazy.
It is.
And we just added about 5 new programs to our network.
Yes.
We have Hannah Brim's show, you know, on our network.
Mm-hmm. Raise Your Voice.
Having the young prophets, yes. The young one. But that's, but Billy Brim, mm-hmm. we now have her show.
Billy and Shelley.
And Shelley.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're on our network
that's
now.
Right.
Prophetic Witness.
And Al and Angie
Burke
are on our network yeah. now. Victory Life Today. And our good friend Robert Henderson
yes. mm-hmm.
is starting in a few days. The Courts of Heaven.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? His show is on mm-hmm. our network. And then James Robinson, one of my dear friends, mm-hmm. The Life Today
right.
is
wow.
on our new, mm-hmm. our new network. And
Daily News with Dr. Gordon Klingenschmidt. What a great program, just bringing us news. And that's what we need, you know, Bible in one hand and news on the other
yeah.
hand.
Tell we have Lance we Wall are. Now on every yes. day, every week.
Firewall with Lance.
One of my best friends. And
Tom Horn.
Tom Horn is just absolutely mm-hmm. a loyal friend.
Yes. yes.
And he has a big absolutely. Network of his own.
Yes.
And here he is on ours with Joe Horn. Which is that his son-in-law?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's his son. Yes, Tom Horn and Joe Horn, Skywatch TV, End of the Age with Dave Robbins. This used to be with Dr. Mm-hmm. You, one of your favorites, Dr.
Urban Baxter.
But on our network is Rick Renner, who's yes. I consider to be one of the great teachers of our time.
Yes,
absolutely.
And we have Perry Stone on, one of my dear friends, Pastor Romero.
Pena.
And then Pastor Robert Morris, yes. Larry and
Tiz Hutch,
and lots and lots. On yes. and on. We have
Mom Show, Life with Lori, which we're working on starting the new season.
The new season.
Yes. We are.
Which is going to be exciting.
It is. Yeah.
The Lori, the Lori
oh, my
Show.
Goodness.
The reruns are on yet on, the, mm-hmm. on our network. Derek and Sharon Gilbert's show's on.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they're like nobody else.
Yeah.
They're really... like nobody else.
Yeah.
And my student, Zach Drew, who's, I think, mm-hmm. one of the great research artists and the great
yes.
researcher of the last days, his show is on our network.
Yes.
So, and there's a lot more.
Yeah. That's right.
So many
so
more.
Exciting.
And we have all of our morning
and we're on in
churches,
like New York City,
seminars.
Los Angeles,
yes. Oh, yes.
all of the great cities of America,
yes.
hundreds of cities.
Mm-hmm.
And on the channels, what do you call those?
Roku streaming channels, which is Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire Stick. You can download the PTL network channel.
And we love the Roku because you can watch it 24 hours a day. It's available in your home on your television screen, and that's the Roku
You don't
Express.
Pay for that after you get the little
that's right.
device.
That's right. All you do is you purchase the device, and we actually have them available where we can ship one straight to your home. You connect your television screen, and we actually do have on our website, jimbakershow.com, we have a tutorial from Tammy Sue. So she's teaching you how exactly to use the Roku and also how to watch the PTL Voice of the Prophets on your cell phone. So if you're like me, where you're very rarely in front of a TV screen, I actually get to watch the PTL television network with the Voice of the Prophets on my phone, on the go, no matter where I am. It's as simple as hitting a button where you open up the app. And it's free. So that's the amazing thing. It's actually free to download the app and watch it straight from your phone anywhere, anytime.
You know what? This is so amazing.
Yes.
I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to tell everybody. Almost every Christian network's on Roku as well.
That's right.
So when you get our little Roku device, there it is.
Yes.
And you have that channel. We watch it. It's
yes.
powerful. It's
yes.
clear.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our Voice of the Prophets mm-hmm. network is on that as
yeah,
well as all of our other networks
all
and all of our programming,
yes.
all of the new stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be having our home-based
Faith-based
shopping
that's
network, right?
Right?
Yes.
That's
we're getting ready to launch that.
Which is going to be huge
yes.
on that network. Yes. And here we go.
That's right.
We built one of the largest networks
yeah.
in the world.
Yes.
What? Well, I was in That's bed right. with a stroke.
Yes. Yeah. And think about that, Dad. As we are watching right now, believers, conservative voices, those of us who believe in the gospel and we're preaching it every day, right now, they're being censored. They're being deplatformed.
Right.
So more than ever is this network so important. Because right now, you've been preaching this and teaching us, Dad, that we need, as Christian voices, as Christian community, we need to stand up together and start creating platforms like this, like the voice of the prophets, where they cannot censor us. We will preach and teach the gospel. And I always keep standing on this word, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And that's what you and I are doing. We're all doing that together as we preach and teach, Dad. And as those of you who partner with us for the voice of the prophets, we are fulfilling the gospel. We are fulfilling the word of God.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
This is one of the last days.
Yes.
Food before it goes up in price and the generators go up in price.
Yeah.
And really I hate is. This. I fought it. I begged, I did everything I
right.
could do,
yeah.
and they're going up. I can't stop it.
Yes.
It's the world going up, mm-hmm. and financially, it's everything's going to cost more. And so, could you tell us about the food?
Yes.
They got another day or two.
That's right. We have the prepared pantry 60-mil bucket for a donation of $155 to the ministry. And that includes, in that offer, there's 13 varieties. As you see on the screen, there's pancakes, there's black bean burgers, strawberry-flavored creamy wheat. There's so many different offers in that. So right now, go to the website, jimbakershow.com, or call us at 1-888-988-1588 to place your order.
Wow. So the prices are going up.
Yes.
Most of the food companies have sold out.
Yes.
Lost their businesses.
That's right.
And so now it's down to just a few left.
Right.
If you want to get it at these prices, you need to order within the next 2 days.
Now's the time. That's right.
All right. Let's see if our guest is ready. Rabbi Jason Sobel, are you here with us? Rabbi,
shalom, shalom.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, you're back. Good. We had a little technical problem. We lost him for a minute, but he's the founder of Fusion Global, a ministry that seeks to bring people into the full inheritance of the faith by connecting the Old and the New Testament. And welcome back to the show, Rabbi.
Yes.
I appreciate you being here so very, very much. Isaac and Jesus were miraculously conceived. Is there a connection between them?
Oh, absolutely. Everything, as we've been talking about in the Hebrew scriptures, in the old, connects to the new, and that is true with every aspect of Isaac's life. So one of the things that we see here is that Abraham and Sarah were not able to conceive. And part of that in Jewish thought is that Sarah literally had a problem with her womb, and God had to do a supernatural miracle of transforming her internally in her old age to be able to conceive. So Sarah's conception was a supernatural conception of Isaac, in the same way that Mary's conception of Jesus was by divine intervention, and it was supernatural as well. So the supernatural conception and birth of Isaac ultimately points to the even greater supernatural conception and birth of Jesus, our Messiah.
Tell us about Jacob and his life-changing encounters.
Yeah, so Jacob is such an amazing story. Jacob has this encounter after he steals his birthright from his brother Esau. He's fleeing to go to where his uncle lives, and he has this encounter with God, And what's incredible, he has an encounter going to see him, and he has an encounter coming back from meeting him. But on that encounter going to meet him, he has this dream, and he sees this ladder coming down from heaven, and he sees the angel standing on the ladder, and the ladder is actually a points to Jesus as the Messiah. Because one of the things in Jewish thought is that ladder represents the Messiah. It represents heaven connecting to earth and God speaking to us. And it says in John chapter 1 that it's amazing. It says in John chapter 1 that talking about Nathanael, Jesus says, you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And basically Jesus saying the ladder that Jacob saw in that vision that connected heaven and earth, that ladder is pointing to me. But of course there is more. After he has that encounter, it was interesting. It says when he laid down that evening to go to sleep, it says he put rocks around his head. When he wakes up in the morning, he says, God is in this place, and he anoints and says, one rock. Well, how did many rocks become one rock? And the rabbis say a supernatural miracle happened here, that he had placed three rocks around his head, and those three rocks became one, and he anointed it with oil. And part of that miracle is the three becomes one, and the anointing it with oil points to the anointing of the Messiah with oil in preparation for his messianic mission. And so it's actually a picture of the Messiah, three rocks becoming one, anointed with oil. God is three yet one. And what's amazing here is that the Hebrew word for rock in this passage is the word Evan, like the name Evan. And it's made up of three Hebrew letters, okay? Aleph, Beit and Nun. Why is that significant? Because the word stone actually points to the Trinity. The Aleph is the Abba, the Father. The Ben is the Son. The B is the Ben, it's the Son. And the letter N, the last letter of the word Evan, has a numerical value of 50. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, which was the 50th day, which ties to Psalm 118. The stone which the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and that is Messiah Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. You've got to get his book.
Yes.
Got to get the book.
Yes.
Mysteries of the Messiah.
That's it.
You're going to love it.
You are.
Come on, Grandma. You need this book. Grandpa needs this.
Yeah.
Just to read and to learn. Yeah. Come on. If you get some of the books what we're offering and you keep getting them, you're going to have a Bible college education like
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's way beyond what I got in Bible school.
Oh, yeah.
Way beyond.
This is incredible.
If you'll study to show yourself approved, you can do this. And, you know, some of us up in age, we don't need the doctorates. We need the knowledge.
Yeah.
We need to know what's coming next. Amen?
Amen.
So they can get
You receive one Mysteries of the Messiah for $30 donation to the ministry, one book, and that includes shipping and handling. Or, like I love to do, is I call the friends and family offer, the $75 where you receive three of Mysteries of the Messiah, Unveiling Divine Connections from Genesis to Today. That's why we need to know. I think, Maricela, you might have said it best yesterday's broadcast, but we need to know why we believe what we believe. And it's all in here like never before. Yeah. This will just completely unpack every so many situations throughout the Bible. You'll be blown away by them.
Yeah. You love it.
I love it. I love to learn like this.
This really sparks your brain.
It really does, because first of all, I just want to say, Rabbi Jason, you're very relational, and the way you write is very relational. It's very easy to understand, although these are the deep things of God. You make it so easy to understand about him.
Yeah,
Thank you.
You better understand the deep things. You need to understand them.
Oh, yes, and you want to. I mean, your spirit just wants, the more you read, the more you want to know and know about him, about Jesus, and Father God and Holy Spirit. And so this is exciting.
Rabbi, did the life of Joseph tell us about the coming Messiah?
One of the greatest types, one of the greatest pictures in the Hebrew scriptures is the life of Joseph. What's incredible is that in Jewish thought, there's actually two messiahs. The first is the Messiah son of Joseph. That is the suffering Messiah. And then there's the Messiah son of David, which is the warrior king who's going to come and rule and reign. But literally, the son of Joseph, the Messiah, was going to— what happens in the life of the Messiah is a picture foretold in the life of Joseph. So think about it for a moment. Joseph was his father's favorite son. His brothers were jealous of him. They stripped him of his tunic. They threw him in the pit. They sold him for silver. The first time his brothers come down to Egypt, they don't recognize him. It's only the second time that they come down to Egypt that he takes off his garb and reveals himself to his brothers. I am Joseph, your brother, Ani Yosef. And the brothers bow down and acknowledge that God was with Joseph and that Joseph was right all along. What a powerful picture of Jesus. He was the father's favorite. His brothers reject him. Jesus was literally stripped of his tunic in the same way Joseph was stripped of his tunic. Jesus was sold for silver. Joseph was sold for silver. Joseph, the one who came up with the idea to sell him for silver, was Judah. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus is sold for silver by Judas. Well, technically in Hebrew, it's not Judas, it's Judah. So there's a Judah in the old and a Judah in the new. Both sell for silver, falsely accused, put in a pit. I mean, he gets promoted to the second most powerful position in Egypt at the right hand of the Pharaoh, just like Jesus was elevated to the right hand of God the Father. He was rejected at his first coming, just like the brothers didn't recognize him the first time. Only at the second will the brothers bow down and recognize that he truly is literally Jesus, the son of Joseph, the suffering servant who died for our sins. And he came and gave his life so that we might be redeemed and set free. And God spoke to me in a very powerful way from this passage at one point in my life. He said, Jason, you're going to have to go through a season of Joseph. I'm going to take you through the pits and the prisons. I am going to strip you, and I'm going to prepare you for my promises. But first, I have to humble you. And it wasn't an easy experience, but it's where I am today because God took me through that season of Joseph. So if any of you are going through that season, I don't want you to be discouraged. God uses the pits and the prisons as the means to promote you to the palace.
Powerful. So powerful. And, you know, and the story of Joseph, Jim, I just have to say, I know, you know, knowing Jim's story the way we do, and it reminds me so much of the story of Joseph in so many ways, Jim. And you went from, you've been in the pit, you've been in the prison. That's what rabbis just say. It sounds so much like when you're preaching, from the, you know, pit to the prison and then to the palace, which ultimately is heaven, really.
Well, it's a miracle that I'm back on television. I came out of the prison.
That's right.
And God always brings you out of the prison.
Yes, he does.
In fact, most of his servants, his disciples, they were trained in prisons. I mean, literally, yes. It was that prison experiences.
Right.
And I learned more in prison than I did any place else. So mm-hmm. God's love,
yes,
is sometimes the prison experience, mm-hmm. you know.
It's
and that's
Joseph
what the Joseph
experience.
Is.
That's right.
Oh, we got so many questions. I have 45 questions for you today.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not going to get to them all. I can see that already. But let's go on. What was the purpose of the 10 plagues in Egypt?
Yeah.
We're going back to old and new to try
so
to find
good.
Out what's going on. So the 10 plagues in Egypt.
Yeah, it's incredible because we're in the season where we're going to be celebrating the Passover Easter season. And I think an important thing to understand about the plagues was that they were not meant to be punitive. They were not meant to be a punishment. They were meant to be redemptive. God wanted Israel to understand his love and his power, and he wanted them to have faith in him. But he also wanted the Egyptians for their eyes to be open, for them to understand that he was the only one true God, that the gods of Egypt were false gods and idols, so that he existed, that he was the one controlling all of creation, and that he was the one who had all power and authority. And that was part of the purpose for the plagues. But what's also amazing is that God brought 10 plagues on Egypt. If there is a number in the Bible, God is in the details. It is there for a reason. So the question is, why 10 plagues? Think about it for a moment. When God created the world, he spoke 10 times. So creation is God speaking 10 times. So creation is connected to 10. The plagues on Egypt, the redemption is connected to the 10 plagues. And then God brings Israel to Mount Sinai and gives 10 commandments. Creation 10, redemption 10, revelation 10. What's the significance? When God brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt, what we have to understand is God's word is woven into the very fabric of creation. When Pharaoh disobeyed the prophetic word of the Lord to him, the plagues on Egypt was an undoing of creation. Where God brought order out of chaos in the very beginning, when Pharaoh disobeyed the revelation, the prophetic word of God, which is just like there's physical laws of the universe, there are spiritual laws of the universe. And when we break those laws, what happens? It's chaos. So it's an undoing of creation is what we see in the 10 plagues. And the 10 commandments are a restoration of new order, new creation. Why is that important? Because when we don't honor God's word as a nation, as an individual, our lives go from order to chaos, from blessing to cursing. We've taken God out. In Hebrew, there's one letter difference between exile and redemption. When you take God out, when you don't listen to the word of God or the prophetic word, what happens? There's chaos instead of order, and we need to invite God back in, or we will continue to experience what Israel experienced in the days of Egypt, like the Egyptians experienced.
In your book, you describe the plagues as broken into three sets of spiritual truth. To Pharaoh, what were they?
It's the three sets, or to remember that God is the only true God, that he is all powerful, and that he controls everything in creation from the greatest to the least.
Beautiful.
Did God harden Pharaoh's heart?
You know, it's such an interesting passage and so important to understand, because many people are like, how can God judge Pharaoh when he's the one, it says in scripture, that God hardened his heart? What we have to understand is it literally doesn't say harden in the Hebrew. It says to make strong. Why is that significant? Because God only strengthened Pharaoh in the way that his heart and mind already wanted to go. He didn't want the Egyptians just to cry uncle and give up because of the pain or because they were scared. He wanted them to let the children of Israel go because they understood that God was real and it would lead to a real repentance. And so that's when it says God strengthens Pharaoh's hearts. It's so that he would repent not out of pain or out of fear, but out of true faith.
So good.
What was unique about the relationship Moses had with God?
Oh, incredible. I mean, Moses is the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And there were two things that made Moses unique. Deuteronomy 34 says this: to this day, no prophet has arisen like Moses, who God spoke to face, and who did all these unique signs and wonders when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. So the face-to-face relationship and the unique signs and wonders is what made Moses unique as the greatest prophet in the Hebrew scriptures. And why is that important when it comes to revealing mysteries of the Messiah? The reason is because One of the great mysteries was that the Messiah, according to Deuteronomy 18:18, was going to be a prophet like Moses. So Messiah had to be like Moses and do things similar to what Moses did. And so what Book of John talks about Jesus being the Messiah, and there's two things that make him unique in the Book of John. John 1:1 reads like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was face to face with God." In the beginning. That's a literal translation from the Greek of John chapter 1:1. So Jesus had an even greater relationship to the Father. He was with him face to face in the beginning, an intimate relationship. It's the reason for all the I am statements in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. It's showing that he is the great I am, has this unique relationship with the God, with God, with the Lord, because he is God incarnate. And then the book of John is also called the book of signs. He does these unique signs and wonders, like the turning the water into wine, because he's the greater than Moses. Moses turned the water into blood. Jesus is the greater, the Messiah, greater than Moses, because he doesn't turn the water into blood. He turns the water into wine, because he doesn't come to bring death. He comes to bring life. And the symbol of the messianic kingdom is the new wine.
Beautiful. Wow.
How do the seven miracles in John's gospel correlate with the miracles performed by Moses?
Yeah, so all of these, like, again, to get a taste of this, as we just said, the miracle of the turning the water into wine, the first miracle of the turning the water into wine connects back to Moses. Moses turns the water into blood. Jesus turns the water into wine. That's one example. One of the things, this idea is that Moses gave manna in the wilderness. Jesus is the bread of life. He multiplies the bread and the fish. Through Moses, the firstborn of Pharaoh died. And through Jesus, he raises the nobleman's child. And so we see just everything in the life of Moses comes back into the life of Jesus, because he is the greater than Moses, and it all points to him as the greater redeemer. The rabbis say, as it was with the first Moses, so will it be with the second Moses. And so the two connect through all the miracles that he performs.
Rabbi Jason, we have a clip here from your Unveiled series showing the miracle of the water turning to wine. Let's roll that.
Where would you like us to set up?
This way. The master of the banquet will walk you through it.
Wine played a central role on every Jewish holiday and in every life cycle event. Wine was symbolic of sanctification, but most important, wine was symbolic of joy. Jewish hospitality was so important. Think about it for a moment, going all the way back to the days of Abraham, who went through great sacrifice to entertain three wayfarers, three strangers, and provide hospitalities, and wound up entertaining angels. That's how important in New Testament times hospitality was. It was customary to have more food and wine than was even necessary for the entire 7 days of the wedding banquet and celebration.
But the guests seem to be happy so far.
It was thought that if you invited friends and guests to a celebration and you ran out of wine, you were like a thief.
Thomas, talk to me.
Actually, that would be a terrible thing to behold.
My son.
Ah, Andrew, you see, even my own mother will join us in the Song of Miriam.
They've run out of wine.
But it's only the first day.
Yes, and it's all gone. Not a drop left.
Why are you telling me this?
We can't let the celebration end like this. And Esther's family humiliated.
Boys, go join the others. I'll be right there. Mm.
Mother, my time has not yet come.
If not now, when?
There would have been huge shame, dishonor,
humiliation that the bride and the groom and the entire family would have experienced if the wine ran out. But Mary's not going to take no for an answer. She's going to make sure that her son is going to step in and do something. Part of having that chutzpah is taking risks for God. But I also want us to see that the miracle didn't happen until all of the wine ran out. Because until we come to an end of ourselves, until our natural provisions are exhausted, that's only when God steps in. Even in your own life, maybe you're running out of finances, maybe you're running out of opportunity, that's okay. Believe God to step into your life just like he did at the miracle of the water into wine, because he will provide all of your needs according to his riches in Messiah Yeshua Jesus.
Do whatever he tells you.
That is so beautiful.
Don't miss the rabbi on television every week.
Yes.
And I've invited him to be on our network if it could be arranged, but you can find him somewhere, everywhere,
right.
Probably. Just go to his Skype. Not Skype, what do you call it?
Website.
Go to his website and it'll show all the different outlets of how you can watch Rabbi Jason. What I love about this book is so many things, but one thing I love is if you got the book for no other reason, you should get it for this, connecting the Old Testament and the New Testament. On page 96, when you're dealing, Rabbi, with most John and Moses and the Messiah. But I love how you put in here, out of the book of John, seven things. Changing the water into wine, John 2, 1 through 11. And these are Jesus' miracles side by side next to Moses' miracles.
Wow.
Changing the Nile into blood, Exodus 4, 9. And then you go on seven different situations. And I'm going to tell you what, that's powerful in itself.
Yeah, yeah. There is such a connection
symbolic
with the Old and New Testament.
Yes.
You know what we just watched?
It's one Bible.
What we just watched, I know in the inner city, in my hood, that's one of the most talked about moments is Jesus walking into a party.
Yeah.
And creating a mirror. Can you imagine? Or tradition. Latinos have tradition. Jewish people have traditions. That one tradition could have changed the trajectory of the future of his ministry. But when his mom walked in, isn't it amazing that the Bible talks about honoring your mother and your father and how mom came in and released his ministry? I believe God is about to release a ministry in your life when you honor your mother and your father. I believe God, you've been honoring your mom. You've been helping her. You've been with her. And I want to tell you something. When it seems like your ministry is probably silenced, God is about to do something that you have never witnessed in your life. I speak for my life. I've honored my mother, my father. Nena, you have honored mom and dad. And look what God took inner city kids from the hood, from the ghetto, from the projects. And here we are becoming a voice to the world to remind you that as long as you honor your mother and your father, God has a purpose for your life. God has a destiny and your ministry is going to be released. But I believe that God is doing something as you're ending right every
day.
Why
have you honored me? I'm your stepfather, really, because your father's passed away.
I believe that, I tell you what, there's more meaning in the spiritual fathering than there is sometimes in the natural. And there's such a covering and authority over my life that I needed through your ministry, through your fathering, that it needed to connect with my destiny. My purpose is connected to your destiny, but more than that, obedience. You see, a lot of the times, most of the time, I was walking in disobedience, and I needed to be under the covering of obedience to a father. You helped me identify who I am.
But you were just stepping from the ghetto into being a minister.
Yes.
And today, you're well-recognized all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
By being on this show and being a testimony. We'll talk about this more someday because it's really powerful. And the three people on this set, here more than just my co-host. This is, of course, my wife. If you haven't met her yet, this is Lori. And then my daughter, Marcella, who is the chief operating officer, never dreamt this little girl, mom saw her the first time she was in her diapers walking down the stairway, you know, as a little baby. And now she's our COO and the miracle of all of this.
Yeah.
This is, this family isn't just a bunch of people sitting on a set. This is something God put together. Yes. This is all supernatural.
It's so amazing.
And it's amazing. Yes. Now, we're going to be out of time if I'm not careful. So we're happy to have Rabbi Jason Sobel here with us.
Yes.
Please order his book. And what I want to do, Nana, if we could, everyone who orders the three books today, I would like to put that in the fund to finish the Hall of the Prophet studio, because that studio is going to be filled with people speaking and on television all around the world every day and people gathering together by the thousands here at Morningside.
Amen.
Absolutely. And so there's the studio right there, and we need to build it. The blueprints are being drawn and the ready to put the foundations in of this new studio for the Hall of the Prophets studio. This is the artist rendering of it. But so anybody today who gives that $75, we're going to earmark that to that today for the studio.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Yes.
All right. Many people recognize Jesus as the Passover lamb, but your book teaches us about other mysteries of the Passover and Messiah, such as number 14. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so the Passover lamb was to be slayed on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. Nisan literally means miracles. We are entering into the month of miracles. So believe God, first of all, for your miracle. Believe God for your breakthrough in the season. What he did for Israel, he wants to do for you as well. But what's significant is about the number 14. God picked that day of all the days. Why? Because 14 in Hebrew, as we said, Hebrew is alphanumeric. The way that you write numbers is with letters. So the two letters that form the Hebrew number 14 is Yud Dalet, which literally spells the word for hand. 14 is the number of the hand because God redeemed Israel with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. The Passover lamb was the revelation of God's hand of salvation in history, first through the Passover lamb in the days of Moses, but ultimately through the greater Lamb of God, Jesus, our Messiah. But of course, there is something more there because there's two great redemptions in the Bible that happened both on the 14th day. We have at the first month of the Hebrew calendar is the Passover, the month of Nisan, which is number one, the first month on the Hebrew calendar. And then there's a redemption in the last month of the Hebrew calendar, the 12th month, which we read about in the book of Esther. God delivers the Jewish people from the plans of Haman to commit genocide against the children of Israel on the 14th day of the month of Adar. So 14 salvation at the beginning of the year. And we have 14 at the end, the last month of the Hebrew calendar. Why? Because we have two hands. Passover is about the revealed hand of God. Everyone saw the miracles. Even the Egyptian sorcerers had to recognize that the miracles were caused by the finger of God. But Esther doesn't even make it. Esther almost didn't make it into the Bible. And the reason for that is God's name is not mentioned once in the book of Esther. And it's meant to teach us that in the book of Esther, God was hidden. It's about the hidden hand of God. And the lesson is, even when you can't see the hand of God, you have to trust the heart of God. And this connects into the end times, because the redemption from Egypt with the 14 in the hand is at the beginning of history. And the last month of the calendar years represents prophetically what God is going to do at the end of history. It's going to seem as if God is hidden. It's going to seem all the nations are going to try and destroy the Jewish people. Even in the book of Esther, it was Persia, Iran, that was trying to, Haman was in Iran, wanted to destroy the Jewish people. And that's what we see today, Iran trying to wipe out the Jewish people. But God's hand is going to save in the end, just like it did in the beginning in the days of Moses. And God wants his hand to work in your life in this season in the same way, the hand of Jesus.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. Rabbi, in the back of your book, in the appendix, Mondo, they have the Hebrew
and the Gregorian calendar
and a chart there in the back of your book,
it's excellent.
Rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that chart to us there of the calendar?
Yeah. So what we have in the chart is it lines up. It shows that how the Hebrew months of the year connect to our calendar months on the calendar that we use, like January, February, March. And it shows how all of the biblical feasts of the Lord tie into those. And that's so significant because every major event in the life of Jesus happened on a biblical holiday. He died as the Passover lamb. He rose from the dead on a biblical holiday known as First Fruits. And he poured out his spirit on Pentecost, which was also a holiday in the Hebrew scriptures. It's when God comes down on Mount Sinai and gives the Ten Commandments. So this chart in the appendix of the book talks about the biblical holidays, how they connect, how they fall in the calendar, which helps us understand the life and the work of Jesus better.
Wow.
Wow. Amazing. This would help so much, this
yes.
chart. To for the average person
yeah.
to know, they can look at that and see what time it is that they're living in at that moment,
mm-hmm.
and see dates and the Passover and all the special holy days and how they relate to where they were living in.
Amazing.
You need this
yes.
because the Hebrew calendar and the biblical Gregorian, what do you call it, calendar
mm-hmm.
is different.
Yes.
And so this is important. So when you get the book, you're going to get all of this material
yeah.
In the book to understand what he's teaching about.
Mm-hmm.
So order your book right now. Our time's almost gone.
Oh, goodness.
Let me ask a couple more questions
yes.
about the Passover. How does the symbol of the cross relate to the Passover?
Yeah, this is incredible. So when God tells the children of Israel to put the blood on the doorposts of their house, it's to be, the lamb was to be slain and the blood spilled in the entranceway. And then there was to be three applications, one on the top and one on the two sides. So the blood on the doorposts of the home actually forms a picture of the cross. And what's incredible about that is the fact that the cross is actually a Jewish symbol. So an ancient Hebrew script, which was more pictorial in nature, the way that you would write the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Tav, which literally was meant to be a mark or a seal, is in the shape of a cross. So God marked the children of Israel's home in the shape of a cross, which is a symbol of his salvation from the days of Moses until today. I mean, there's so much more there, but that's just a little bit about that. It reminds us of the blood of the Passover lamb.
Oh, this is so good. I'm just going crazy here. Yeah. I have a million questions. I want to know all the answers, but I've got the book. I have your brand new book, and I love it. I love it. I love it.
Did we get to the significant that Jesus celebrated the Passover with the 12?
Yeah, so it's very significant that Jesus, the Last Supper was actually a Passover Seder. Significant for many different reasons. Obviously, he came to die as the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that was to take away the sins of the world. But it's also significant that he celebrated the Passover with 12 disciples because it connects back to the 12 tribes of Israel. God promises that Israel was going to be a means by which he was going to bring salvation to the world. The fact that Jesus celebrates with 12 disciples, they in a sense represent the new Israel, just like each of the 12 tribes had 12 heads in the Old Testament. The apostles, the 12 apostles sitting with Jesus represents God's promise to Israel that God is going to use them ultimately to bring salvation, not just to the Jewish people, also to the nations. We see this in the book of Revelation. You have written on the gates, on the walls of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel. It's making that connection, but we also see it in the 144,000. 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. Ultimately, the 144,000 are the means by which Israel will fulfill its destiny to be a light to the nations and bring the message of the Messiah to the world, because the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Israel rejected their Messiah for the most part, but ultimately, God in his goodness is going to give them another chance to fulfill his promises and purpose for their life. So God is not through with Israel. God has promises to the Jewish people, and the 12 apostles are a sign that God will fulfill those promises connected to the book of Revelation and the 144,000.
Praise Amen. God. This is incredible.
In the book, you talk about the correlation between Moses and the Messiah, both providing manna. This is well established in Jewish traditions. Why don't Christians know about this correlation?
Yeah, I think that's what's so important, because many Christians don't understand the Jewish roots of their faith. And when you understand the Jewish roots, every detail of the scripture comes alive in new and significant ways. Just like manna was given through Moses, Jesus multiplies the bread and the fish, and he says, I am the bread of life. And the book of Revelation says he offers to those who believe the hidden manna. Every detail in the scripture is fulfilled in him. One of the things that I love about this, the hidden manna, the hidden bread, it connects to the Passover. Jesus broke the bread and says, this is my body broken for you. That points to the redemption that we have in him. And it's just an incredible picture that everything finds its fulfillment in Jesus as our Messiah.
What are the allusions to the Messiah in the book of Ruth? We have to stop with that question because you got to come back, Rabbi. You've got to come back. We just got so much more we want to talk about. But let's talk about Ruth. Lori's one of her favorite friends is Ruth.
Absolutely. I love this chapter. And there's something in this chapter that was, for me, revelation, knowledge. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to get the book and read it for yourself, because it goes so deep and so wide. And it's so powerful. But what are those allusions, Rabbi?
Well, I want to talk about, we'll see what we have time for. What I love is that the story of Ruth and Boaz takes place in Bethlehem, which is so significant, because ultimately Jesus has to be born in Bethlehem, because Ruth and Boaz, representing Jew and Gentile coming together, birth the line of David, which is the line of the Messiah, and the story takes place in Bethlehem. It's the reason why Jesus has to be born there as the son of David. But of course, there is more. We've been talking about the numbers. Bethlehem in Hebrew is Beit Lechem, house of bread. It has a numerical value of 490. Why is that significant? Think about it for a moment. Bethlehem equals 490. In Hebrew, we have to understand that nativity in Hebrew equals 490. This connects to Jesus saying to Peter, you have to forgive 70 times 7, 490. Did you ever wonder why Jesus said 70 times 7, 490? It's because The Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem to bring forgiveness of sins. And think about it for a moment. In Hebrew, the word to be perfect or complete equals 490, because you can't be perfect or complete in your faith without forgiveness. Bethlehem in Hebrew literally means house of bread. Bread and forgiveness are connected. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So he connects bread and forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. And also at the Last Supper, he breaks the bread. This is my body broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Because just like we can't live relationally, just like we can't live physically without bread, we'll die. We can't live spiritually and emotionally without the bread of forgiveness. And when we withhold that bread, it's like telling a starving person, go and die. He has forgiven us. We remember him, his body, the bread broken for us at this season. The one who was born in Bethlehem was born to die to bring our forgiveness and freedom, salvation, and transformation. This is all alluded to in the book of Ruth and so much more.
And so much more. Wow. And if you don't know the Lord, you don't know Jesus, you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, now's the time. Rabbi has just explained it to you. And I'm amazed that I love the end of the when you talk about Ruth in here in this chapter. And you said that Pastor John Corson said, Ruth was washed, anointed, and clothed with new raiment, just like we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, anointed by the Holy Spirit and robed in his righteousness. She's washed. She's anointed. She's robed. She's amazed. Ruth, the foreign widow, was amazed. You will be amazed as well when you let Yeshua have the reins of your life. You and Yeshua, like Ruth and Boaz, can travel together in a glorious story. God doesn't give up on his people.
Amen.
Amen.
Get this book today.
Powerful.
This is the last day to order the book, so get the book today for a gift of one book is what?
Yes, one book for a donation of $30 to the ministry, and that includes shipping and handling. Or you can get the friends and family offer for a donation of $75 to the ministry, and that's three of the brand new books, Mysteries of the Messiah, Unveiling Divine Connections from Genesis to Today.
Yes. And then I'll include shipping and handling.
That's right. Absolutely.
So call us right now at 1-888-988-1588. Or better yet, go to the website. And remember, all the offers we talked about at the beginning of the broadcast, all of these offers are on the website, jimbakershow.com. You can write us at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615.
Order the book right now. Go right to your phone right now. 1-888-988-1588. That's toll free and includes shipping and handling.
That's right.
So order your book now because this is something you've got to read.
Amen.
We do have to leave. We want to thank Rabbi Jason Sobel for being with us today.
Thank you, Rabbi.
It was a great blessing to us, and God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. That number again is 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to the Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.